Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Alrighty, hour number two of our radio program. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll get to overreaction, proper reaction in just a second. But two college football stories first. One is just a mock draft of the college prospects. The other one, we talked about this last week, where I said I saw Matt Patricia walking around Radio Row, and he looked very thin, extremely thin. Matt Patricia, I said I was surprised that he's not on Belichick's staff at UNC. And I think it was Samter who was like, oh, well, maybe he just doesn't want to do the college game. Well, Matt Patricia is now in the running to replace Jim Knowles, who is now the Penn State defensive coordinator, but he was the national championship defensive coordinator at Ohio State. Matt Patricia interviewed to become Ohio State's defensive coordinator. This is from Mike Florio via Matt Zenitz of CBS Sports. So you have Matt Patricia interviewing to become the Ohio State defensive coordinator. I don't know, man. What happened in Philadelphia last year, and I know Patricia took over for Sean Desai in the middle of the season. Is Patricia, see, how much is he going to have to recruit? Because if Matt Patricia's going to, sometimes you bring in a coordinator and write big enough name where you don't have to make him recruiting as much. But if Matt Patricia has to be going into living rooms a lot, and I guess, hey, at Ohio State, you could just basically say, hey, this is the dollar amount. This is what we're going to do. That's a funky landing spot for him. But if it ends up happening, you know, I wonder why he's not on Belichick's staff. And is this a way, okay, you do a nice job at Ohio State for a year or two, then you could parachute back into the NFL? Because it seems, at least from a coordinating standpoint, it won't be a head coach again. He has reached a dead end in terms of becoming an NFL defensive coordinator. So I guess it's slim pickings, and you got to take what you can get, and we'll see if he even ends up becoming the next defensive coordinator at Ohio State. Anyway, though, Stu, I have a shocking mock draft for you. Shocking.
Ooh, that's exciting.
All righty. Number one, this is Chad Ryder, NFL.com. Does a really good job. He has the Tennessee Titans taking Cam Ward. Number two, the Cleveland Browns taking Travis Hunter. Number three, the New York Football Giants taking Shedeur Sanders. Number four, the New England Patriots taking Abdul Carter, which that's the guy that I want to go to the Patriots, by the way. Talking about Abdul Carter. I didn't buy, you know where I'm going with this?
I sure do. I saw the tweet this morning.
So I didn't buy Wi-Fi, even though it's only $5 and I could have expensed it. I didn't buy Wi-Fi on the way back from New Orleans because I didn't want to be distracted on the 2.5-3 hour flight. I just wanted to sleep because I was exhausted when I got on that plane last night. And I just wanted to sleep for 2 or 3 hours. I knew if I bought the Wi-Fi, I would just be texting and tweeting and doing all that stuff. So I land, I didn't check Twitter. And I get in the Uber, and I had a few notifications. And two notifications that I had were from Warren Sapp, where Warren Sapp walked off set with us on Radio Row. And it was such a bizarre thing because we weren't having a contentious conversation. But Warren Sapp walked off Radio Row with us because I said, oh, where is Abdul Carter in your draft rankings when he had number one, Travis Hunter, number two, Shedeur Sanders, number three, Cam Ward. And then I said, what about Abdul Carter? He's like, oh, when's the last time that Penn State's produced a good pass rusher? And I'm like, Micah Parsons? And he walked off set. So I guess Warren Sapp has now seen the reaction to this, which, by the way, I was getting recognized on Bourbon Street. People were coming up to me and talking about the Warren Sapp interview. Actually, this morning, I was going to get my coffee from Starbucks, and usually I order ahead in the app, but I was just coming out of the gym today, and I was like, you know what? I'll just walk over to the Starbucks. It's right across from my building. And I'm waiting in line for Starbucks, and someone goes, oh, what do you think about the Mets this year? And I go, oh, you know, it's supposed to be a big year for them, right? They got Juan Soto. And he goes, by the way, great interview with Warren Sapp at the Super Bowl. Can I buy your coffee and protein bar? And I was like, oh, that's not necessary. He said, no, I insist. The guy took out his phone, tapped, and then ended up, paying for my coffee and protein bar. But it was wild at the Super Bowl, and Sam saw it. So many people were coming up, and they were saying, oh, I had this unpleasant interaction with Warren Sapp. Now, like, you want to walk up the set, I don't care. I know when those things happen, right? It goes viral, whatever. We're having a conversation, and he tapped out. So Warren Sapp responded to our interview saying, we wasn't done. My bad. CTE acting up. He went the Antonio Brown route with that, CTE ESPN or whatever he does. So Warren Sapp, I guess, didn't realize or claims now he didn't realize that he walked off the set with us. And he said, my bad, CTE acting up. So I responded to that with the Kevin Hart gif of him sitting courtside at a basketball game where he's just like, all right then. So that's the latest on the whole Warren Sapp story. But anyway, getting back to this mock draft, and we talked about Abdul Carter, and then Warren Sapp comes up. The first four picks in Chad Ryder's latest mock draft: Cam Ward 1 to Tennessee, Travis Hunter 2 to Cleveland, the Giants 3 with Shedeur Sanders, Abdul Carter 4 with the Patriots, 5 Will Johnson out of Michigan to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So Stu,
in at number 6 with the Raiders. Me. Yeah, I feel like everyone that I've wanted is now off the board.
So no quarterback, right? You don't want to take a quarterback there.
No.
You still have Mason Graham available, yeah, if you want to go defensive lineman. Would the Raiders go offensive lineman?
I think they would. Yeah,
because you have Colton Miller. Can you go get another tackle? Maybe.
Yeah, I think Colton Miller could also be a potential cap casualty.
Okay.
Potentially.
And they're not going to go tight end here.
No,
because they have Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer. Yeah, you know, imagine if they said goodbye to Mayer and they go with Tyler Warren. That would be something. But this kind of screams old Raiders. This pick.
Okay.
You think it's offense or defense?
I'm going to guess it's offense.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess it's a receiver.
It is not, because you would think it's McMillan out of Arizona, potentially.
Is it a running back?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Ashton Jeanty?
Yep. 6 overall.
Wow.
If the Raiders opt to ride with veteran quarterbacks next season, someone like Sam Darnold or Russell Wilson, this is what Ryder said, I expect the team's new regime to use this pick on an offensive weapon. Vegas missed having a bell cow back this past year, and Jeanty's combination of vision, balance, speed, power project for him to have a highly productive NFL career. I don't think there's a bigger fan of Ashton Jeanty in the national radio landscape than me. Even with that being said, I don't see how you take a running back 6 overall. And I love Ashton Jeanty, but I understand right now with Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley and the years that they had, the running back position is a lot more popular than what it was the last few years. But if the Raiders take a running, with all the needs that they have, Stu, if the Raiders take a running back 6 overall, that's a head scratcher to me.
They basically have a need everywhere except for tight end. And I guess you can argue defensive line, but at the same time, you can never really have too many defensive linemen. So a running back there is weird. And also, like, yeah, they didn't get a lot of production from the running back position last year, but a lot of it also was the offensive line. It's just so bad. So there was nowhere for the running back to go. So even if you draft Jeanty, I don't know if that solves the running issue. I don't know.
It's high.
It's very high.
I'd feel bad if Ashton Jeanty got drafted by the Raiders. I would. Because there's so much work to go.
Yeah.
Now, do you think there's another quarterback in this mock draft? Because I only think 2 should go in the first round.
I will guess there is another quarterback.
Jets trading up to 31.
Oh.
From the second round up to 31 with the Chiefs. Jackson Dart, according to Chad Ryder, Mississippi, Ole Miss. Multiple teams could be looking for a quarterback early in round 2 to avoid the Friday night rush. The Jets trade up from pick 42 overall in round 2, sending that selection and a 4th, 5th, and 6th round pick to the Chiefs. Dart's efficiency, smooth delivery, and above-average mobility for the position earn him the nod in this mock. Jackson Dart. You know, after that Florida game, if you told me that he would still be a first-round pick or projected to be a first, so I'd be like, hey, he was projected to be a first-round pick before that? Like, I don't see that. I really don't. Anyway, let's get to a little overreaction, prop reaction. There's some draft takeaways. Also, we got the Patricia story in there, but let's do a little overreaction, prop reaction right now.
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
All righty, Stuart, what do we got cooking today?
All right. Got me a little uncomposed with that Ashton Jenty mock draft news. I don't know.
If you're shook. You're rattled.
A little bit.
You look like Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
That's right.
This is going to be a terrible next 10 minutes segment.
Since the Super Bowl was completely out of hand at the end, Xavier Worthy's second half has been overlooked a bit. However, after snagging just one catch for 2 yards in the first half, the rookie wideout had 7 catches for 156 yards and 2 touchdowns in the second half alone, setting the rookie Super Bowl record for receiving yards in a game, in a Super Bowl game. Overreaction or prop reaction, Xavier Worthy is a legit number one receiver for the Chiefs.
So I think he has the capability of being really good because speed kills in this league. But I got to see more out of him. And he had a very good college career for the 3 years that he was at Texas. But I got to see more out of him. And next year, he's going to be viewed as that number one wide receiver for Kansas City unless they go make a big move. And with Kelce slowing down, you know, outside of Mahomes, he could be the most important player on that offense. You know, he really could. Pacheco's good, but he got banged up this year. But he's a legit number one wide receiver for the Chiefs. He could be viewed as a number one wide receiver, but I got to see more when he gets more food on his plate, what he's going to do with it. He had 17 games played this year, 59 receptions, 638 yards, and 6 touchdowns. He had a really good Super Bowl, but a lot of it was in garbage time, too. So he has the speed. He has the ability. And Zay Flowers, right, has speed and was really good for the Ravens. Can he do what Zay Flowers has done? Yes. But still, it even feels like there's a different gear for Zay Flowers. Had a really good season this past year for the Ravens. So right now, Xavier Worthy is legit number one wide receiver for the Chiefs. I'm going to go overreaction, but I wonder where I'm at on that a year from now.
Now, the Eagles defense held the Chiefs to just 45 total yards over the first 42 minutes of action and is led by young stars like Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith Jr., Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, Jordan Davis, and Milton Williams, all who are 25 or younger. Overreaction or proper reaction, this Eagles defense can go down as one of the best ever, joining the 85 Bears and the 2000 Ravens.
So they've had one of the best single game performances I've ever seen. And that Eagles defense for the last 2 months was unbelievable. But there were questions earlier in the season about this defense. So it's really next year, and we'll see who's back, right? If Zach Bond comes back, which I think they need to find a way to keep him. They could be better next year because now they're comfortable with the scheme that Vic Fangio runs, but they didn't really take off towards the end of that season. So to say that they're one of the best defenses ever, you know, with the 85 Bears and the 2000 Ravens, that was just dominant from start to finish. You know, the start was bumpy. There was turbulence, and then the ending was really strong for the Eagles. But this Eagles defense will be remembered for their great Super Bowl performance, but one of the all-time great defenses ever. You know, I don't think when we say, 85 Bears, 2000 Ravens, we're going to say this version of the Philadelphia Eagles. But this defense could get better and better for years to come. So it's a heck of a defense, but this Eagles defense go down as one of the best ever, joining the 85 Bears and the 2000 Ravens. No, not right now. So I'm going to go overreaction.
Super Bowl 60 is next year in San Francisco, and the early odds are out with the Eagles leading the way at plus 625, followed by the Chiefs at plus 650, the Ravens and Bills each at plus 675, and the Lions a distant fifth at plus 1100. Overreaction or proper reaction, we will see a rematch of Eagles-Chiefs in next year's Super Bowl.
Obviously, the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC, the Eagles are the best team in the NFC. And they've made for one great Super Bowl, and then this past Super Bowl, it was just so shocking and so kind of cool, even though the game was a dud because it was a blowout. But just to see the Eagles' level of dominance against that Kansas City team, it was a little jaw-dropping, even as someone that picked the Eagles to win. Whenever you give me two or the field, I'll take the field. So we will see a rematch of the Eagles-Chiefs in next year's Super Bowl. I'm going to go overreaction.
Your good friend Deebo Samuel requested a trade from the 49ers after a down year. Now, sportsbetting.ag released the odds for Deebo's next team, with the Commanders topping the list at plus 300, followed by the Chargers, Broncos, Panthers, and your Patriots.
That would be something.
You would love that.
I would get a Deebo jersey.
Okay.
I would get a Deebo Patriot jersey.
Okay, I could see that. Overreaction or proper reaction, Deebo joining Cliff Kingsbury's offense in Washington would make them a Super Bowl contender.
No. I think Deebo is starting to get to that phase of his career where he's not washed, but he's not as great of a player as he once was. And what made Deebo so good was he could run the football, and right, you could line up as running back, and then he could also kill you as a wide receiver. I think right now he's in that stage of like he's an in-betweener, where there'll be some games where he looks like a one, but then there's a lot of other games that he looks like a two, and there's a lot of wear and tear on that body. I would go with someone, like I would go target T. Higgins. If this question was, would T. Higgins make the Commanders more of a Super Bowl contender? I would say yes, but I don't think it's Deebo Samuel. I don't think that's a move that they have to go out there to make. I don't know what he would cost in return. I could even argue I'd rather have Cooper Kupp right now over Deebo Samuel. I think it would be a better fit for the Commanders. So Deebo joining Cliff Kingsbury offense in Washington would make them a Super Bowl contender. I would go overreaction.
All right, speaking of Kingsbury, Grant Paulson of 106.7 The Fan in D.C. reports that the Saints wanted to hire Kingsbury before he decided to stay in Washington as the offensive coordinator. Of course, New Orleans is likely hiring Kellen Moore after the Super Bowl is now over. So overreaction or proper reaction, Kingsbury would have been a better hire than Kellen Moore.
That's a proper reaction. I still don't know what the ceiling is for Kellen Moore. Now, I don't think the ceiling is great for Cliff Kingsbury, but he's one of those young, innovative offensive minds, and I know Kellen Moore is as well. And Kingsbury, his teams always start well, and they just finish horribly. I don't think the Eagles won this Super Bowl because of Kellen Moore, if I'm just being honest. I don't. So I never thought that Moore, the last 2-3 years, should have been a head coach. I'd rather hire Cliff Kingsbury, but I understand why Cliff Kingsbury didn't want the Saints job. You do the Ben Johnson route, wait another season, have another good season with Jaden Daniels, and you could have the pick of the litter next year. So Kingsbury would have been a better hire than Moore, slightly better, but I'm not jumping for joy if my team's hiring Cliff Kingsbury or Kellen Moore, but I'll go proper reaction there.
The Jets will be looking for a new quarterback in 2025 after informing Aaron Rodgers that they're moving on from him. Now The Athletic reports that current backup Tyrod Taylor has emerged as a favorite to be the starter, stating that Garrett Wilson and many others in the locker room love Taylor. Overreaction or proper reaction, the Jets should start Taylor over any of the other available quarterbacks.
That's an overreaction. Would I rather see Jameis Winston or Tyrod Taylor next year? I'd rather see Jameis Winston. I don't think Sam Darnold would be a bad option for the Jets, but Sam wouldn't even contemplate it. You know, even if it's just a year, if you get Kirk Cousins or Russell Wilson on a cheap deal, I'd rather see them than Tyrod Taylor. So, you know, this idea of Tyrod Taylor being the Jets starting quarterback next year, what are you doing if you're the Jets? So I would go overreaction on that.
Now, Sam Darnold is expected to be a free agent, and Adam Schefter told Pat McAfee yesterday that a favorite is already emerging to land Darnold.
I think the Raiders are going to make a play for Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold's candidate to be the Raiders quarterback. We'll see whether Minnesota lets him go or not, but let's see if that works out with Sam Darnold winding up in Vegas.
All right, so the Raiders...
Well, hold on. Stu, let me get the script here. The Raiders have the 6th pick, but the top 2 quarterbacks in Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders will likely be off the board then. Potentially, they could still be there, but let's say they're likely off the board. Overreaction or proper reaction, Stu? The Raiders should sign Sam Darnold to be their long-term QB.
I don't love it, but it's probably a proper reaction at this point. If you're not going to get a quarterback in the top of the draft, and you're not going to overdraft a quarterback late in the first round or wherever, I just don't know where else that quarterback is coming from. So if you can get him on a 3-year deal, that's...
Russell Wilson on a 1-year deal. Kirk Cousins on a 1-year deal.
I'd rather have Russell Wilson for sure. I don't know about Kirk. I
think Kirk is the best quarterback out of those three, but I don't know if he'll ever be back to being healthy because he looked shot all through this year.
Yeah, I'd probably pick Darnold over him at this point. Just pray that the contract isn't a disaster.
Now, Darnold had a good season this past year, don't get me wrong. But with how it ended, I don't know what it's going to cost you for Sam Darnold. If it's a 3-year deal, though, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. Then use that 6th pick to maybe go get a playmaker, as we were talking about earlier. All righty. We'll take a break. Zach Yelp Show, Infinity Sports Network. When we come on back, next QB to join Jalen Hurts as winning their first ring that doesn't have a ring already. We will get to that conversation, do a little draft next.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, Zach Yelp Show, Infinity Sports Network. So Jalen Hurts wins his first ever Lombardi Trophy. Out of quarterbacks in the NFL that don't have a ring, who will be the next quarterback to get their first ring? We will do an NFL little quarterback draft right here. All righty, Stu. Kindness of my heart, I'll let you go first. What do you got?
All right, okay. This is exciting.
Because here's the thing. I think there's three quarterbacks that are obvious here.
Yes.
But then with that being said, the question just becomes who's the first one to go, which I think is tricky, and then you gobble up 2 and 3. So I say the kindness of my heart. I just want to defer and make you have the tough call here right out of the gate.
Interesting. Okay, so I will go Josh Allen. I mean, I guess this year was, if not now, then when for the Bills, but I think they'll still be very good next year, and they'll still be right there. It's just a matter if they can get beyond the Chiefs.
In this order, I will go Joe Burrow. He's been to a Super Bowl before. He's won a national championship. Now he needs to stay healthy. And then after Joe Burrow, I will take Lamar Jackson.
Okay, so obviously I think those are the first three for most people.
And I know who you're going with next. I already know it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you because then if you weren't going to go there and then you're like, oh, Zach gave me a better answer, I don't want you to be cheating off my paper.
So I have two picks here. The first one I will go with is...
Oh, that's right. You get two picks, so you have to pick my guy here.
I'm going to go Jared Goff first.
Okay, that was not the guy I was going to
Interesting.
Say.
I just think the Lions are very, very, very close. Could have easily been in the Super Bowl this year if they had just gone it done against the Commanders. So I'm more buying into the team here than the quarterback, I guess.
Sure, that's fair. Well, you win a Super Bowl, that's all that matters.
Yeah, so and he has also been to one already. So I'll go Jared Goff here. And then my next pick, see, I'm worried I'm going to not pick your guy, but we'll
I'm
see what happens.
I'm putting the pressure on you. I'm trying to play a little mind games with you.
I'm staying in the NFC.
Okay.
I'm staying with a team that got very far in the playoffs this year, a quarterback that is very young, and that is Jaden Daniels, I think. The sky's the limit for him, and I think it can happen in the next few years for him.
That was the obvious one to me. I thought you were going to pick him before Goff, but I get it. The team success with the Lions, even though the Commanders got farther this year,
right.
I do think that the Lions are closer to winning the Super Bowl than the Commanders. So my next two selections here. I'm going to go like how you did with the Lions, just belief in a franchise. I didn't love the way that this quarterback looked at times this year, but I'm going to go belief in the franchise, and the Packers usually just spit out Hall of Fame quarterbacks and then Super Bowl champion quarterbacks. I'm going to go with Jordan Love. I'm going to take Jordan Love. Now, for the next pick, I think I'm going to trust the team here once again. Quarterbacks that have not won a Super Bowl to win their next Super Bowl, to win a first Super Bowl, I don't think this quarterback is great. I think he's just good. But Joe Montana, when he gave a ringing endorsement of Brock Purdy, that was good enough for me the other week when he joined us on the show. So I'll believe in this 49ers team. Give me Brock Purdy. So far off the board, Stu takes Josh Allen. I then take Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. Stu then takes Jared Goff and Jaden Daniels. I then take Jordan Love and Brock Purdy. So you have two more picks here, and I still got one more to go. What's your next pick?
Okay, I will go to the AFC here, and I think this quarterback, similar to Jaden Daniels, had a very, very good first year. He also had a good second year, too. They made strides by getting to the playoffs and winning a playoff game, and that is C.J. Stroud. I think it's just going to be a matter if he can get beyond the trio of Allen, Burrow, and Jackson. But obviously, I think he can win the Super Bowl coming up here.
So I like C.J. Stroud a lot. And this year, though, he just rubbed me the wrong way when he was acting as if he was a 15-year pro and it was only his second year in the league. And that offense, they could have done, not blow them out like the Eagles did to the Chiefs, but their defense was that good up against Kansas City and the offense just bleeped the bed. So, hey, it's still a good spot to be in your first 2 years in the NFL, but I did not have C.J. Stroud on my I was thinking of C.J. Stroud. That's who I thought you were going to end up taking, but I ended up going with Love and Purdy there. So you got one more pick here, right?
I do. I will.
This is where it gets tricky.
It does get tricky here. So I think here, I'm not saying I don't believe the quarterback. That's still to be determined if I believe the quarterback.
I know who you're going.
I think I'm going with more of the coach and what's going to be built.
Pause. Is there a certain someone that works at this station?
Yes.
That if they heard this, they would lose their mind.
Me, yes.
Okay, I know who you're going.
That is Justin Herbert of the Chargers. Again, there are questions about him. I have my questions about him, but I think Jim Harbaugh is such a good coach that I could see it. It's not going to be next year. Maybe in 2, 3, 4 years, it's a possibility, so I'll go with Herbert.
All righty, so quarterback's still on the board here. I'm not taking Dak. Or, you know, I'll contemplate Dak. Giants don't have a quarterback. Seahawks, I'm not taking Geno Smith. Cardinals, I'm not taking Kyler Murray. Vikings, I'm not taking J.J. McCarthy. Bears, I'm not taking Caleb Williams. I love Baker, but I don't think he's winning a Super Bowl. Michael Penix Jr. is like an intriguing spot where I don't think the Falcons are going to win a Super Bowl with him, but could he have a Jaden Daniels impact next year? I guess it's possible. I don't think Tua gets a Super Bowl. Bo Nix had a very good season. Steelers don't have a quarterback. Browns don't have a quarterback. Man, you know what? You know what I'm going to do? I know what I'm doing here. I'm taking a quarterback that's not even in the NFL yet. Arch Manning. I'm just banking on the last name and him going on to be, even if he's a mixture of Peyton and Eli, that's good enough for me. Because I can't stomach taking Dak Prescott. He's with the Cowboys. The Cowboys haven't sniffed an NFC championship game since 1995. You know, Michael Penix Jr. was intriguing. Bo Nix, because it's similar to the Chargers way that you went with a really good coach, and also Bo had a very good season. But that roster still needs a lot of work, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So I will end up taking Arch Manning. So quarterbacks to win their first Super Bowl next. Number one, Stu goes Josh Allen. I then go Josh Burrow, Lamar Jackson. Stu then takes Jared Goff and Jaden Daniels. I then go Jordan Love and Brock Purdy. Stu then goes C.J. Stroud and Justin Herbert. And then I rock and roll with Arch Manning. Some people may have called him Arch Manning, though. But I haven't heard from that person in a long time. I hope he's doing all right. Anyway, we'll take time out here. When we come on back, Micah Parsons on the move, Tebow Samuel on the move, Myles Garrett on the move. We'll get into all three of those players next. Update time first. Here's Zach. This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Bobby asked me this in the YouTube chat. He said, Zach, what do you think about Aaron Rodgers potentially going to the Minnesota Vikings? You know, if that's the case, just say, Aaron, you want to beat Brett Favre, pretty much. Because you go from Green Bay, Super Bowl championship, Hall of Fame quarterback, to the Jets. It doesn't work out with the Jets. And then you're going to be running over to Minnesota. I could see why Rodgers would want to do this, though. You play indoors. You play with Kevin O'Connell. You have Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison. You know, that's pretty damn good. I'm sure Aaron Jones will come back, too, if Aaron Rodgers come back to town. And you got T.J. Hockenson. So I get why Rodgers would want to do it. But this idea, and this is what I don't think people understand. If Sam Darnold's not going to be back with the Vikings next year, it's not because they don't think Sam Darnold is good. Right? Kevin O'Connell with Sam Darnold showed this year that Sam Darnold could be good. Not great. Good. It's because they really believe in J.J. McCarthy. And if you're not ready to hand the baton over to J.J. McCarthy now, after sitting a year, and I know he sat a year because of the injury, why would you then draft J.J. McCarthy 10th overall? And I get it, right? Sometimes teams make decisions and they don't work out. They don't pan out the way that they think they're going to. But even Trey Lance got in a game or two before the Niners said no. So why wouldn't J.J. McCarthy be able to play in a regular season game? And do you maybe just say, okay, you could learn from Aaron? And maybe Aaron's a better mentor than what people think. Because I'll give Aaron Rodgers credit. He did a nice job with Jordan Love. Because I think he had sympathy for Jordan Love. Because he knew what he went through with some of the nastiness when he got drafted and Brett Favre was there. So I get why Rodgers would want to go to the Vikings. But when you have the young quarterback in J.J. McCarthy who's ready to start. J.J. McCarthy's NFL ready. The question just is he healthy? And he did a good job, right, in college. He's a winner. Now, people are going to question when he airs it out more, what is he going to be? But with the weapons that they have around him, you got to throw J.J. McCarthy without the floaties on into the deep end of the pool this year and see if he's going to be able to tread water or if he's going to sink. And you shouldn't sink when you have Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and TJ Hockenson. Like if Sam Darnold not only didn't sink, but he's able to swim pretty smoothly for the rest of the season, for most of the season, I should say, I don't see why J.J. McCarthy can't be at least decent in his first 2 years of starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. So I don't think that's going to happen, but it would actually be fun if it did just because of the Brett Favre storyline. But anyway, there's been a lot of trade rumors or a lot of projected players to get released. We talked about Matthew Stafford. We talked about Aaron Rodgers. I don't think Matthew Stafford ultimately is going to be on a different team. The Rams really are bizarre the last few years. I know they won a Super Bowl, but there's always constant speculation about retirement for Sean McVay. There was a lot of speculation about Aaron Donald retiring. He eventually did, right? Cooper Kupp they're moving off of. But now Matthew Stafford, like, it would make no sense to me when the Rams could potentially win a Super Bowl next year. I don't think they're that far off. Why you would get rid of Matthew Stafford. And I haven't really heard of a plan B yet that I go, oh yeah, that would be really good why you would pivot away from Matthew Stafford when he still has some good football left in his body. So we talked about the Stafford part. I also got into the Rodgers stuff. I like what Aaron Glenn did. Hey, Aaron, we'd be willing to bring you back, but you got to do it on our terms. No more Pat McAfee, whether you agree with these things or not. You got to come to the offseason program training. You got to do it on our terms. And Aaron Rodgers comes off to me as someone that he doesn't like to be told what to do. So when he hears that from a guy in Aaron Glenn, or say what you want about Aaron Glenn, you know, he has never been a full-time head coach before in this league. Do I expect Aaron Rodgers to give respect to Aaron Glenn in those meetings? No. So now we'll see where Aaron Rodgers ends up playing next year. If I'm Rodgers, honestly, at this point, I just retire. You could go to the Raiders. You know where I think he actually could go? I could see the Steelers. I could, because I'm sure Mike Tomlin has some respect for Aaron Rodgers. And look, he had respect for Russell Wilson when Russell Wilson's stock was at an all-time low. And that worked out okay. So it wouldn't shock me if Rodgers winds up with the Steelers. But at this rate, he's not coming back with the Jets. You know, you could go to the Steelers, you go make the postseason. All right, if that's how you want to ride off into the sunset, sure. But your days of winning a Super Bowl or having a chance to win a Super Bowl, they're over with. You won one. You're going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback first ballot. You won all these MVPs. But the career of Aaron Rodgers, as great as it's been, and right, he's a top 10, top 15 quarterback of all time, you still walk away with that career. And I feel like you probably agree with me here, Stu, where you go, it's only one Super Bowl. Now, when I was talking to Dan Marino on Radio Row, he would have loved to have won just only one Super Bowl. But with how early in the career that Aaron Rodgers won it, it's weird that both things can be true. Aaron Rodgers, an all-time great quarterback, top 10, top 15 quarterback of all time. Aaron Rodgers' career, even though he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, did leave you wanting more because he didn't win that second championship, or not even win that second championship. He never even got back to a second Super Bowl. That's really surreal to me, so.
It's pretty amazing. I don't think at this point, though, you can fix that. I don't think he's going anywhere to win a Super Bowl.
No, I think he's just going somewhere to maybe make the playoffs, you know, not end on a bad note because this year was a disaster. And if you go to the Steelers, right, you could be 9-8, 10-7 and make the postseason. That's not crazy whatsoever. But are you going to go to Pittsburgh? Like, the Steelers winning a Super Bowl next year would be them just winning a playoff game. They haven't done so since, 2016? That season was the last time that they won a postseason game. Anyway, though, let's get to three other players that could be on the move. The Niners are going to look to get rid of Deebo Samuel. I've been saying that ever since they re-signed Brandon Ayuk. I thought they were going to get a deal done with Brandon Ayuk, and then they would find a way to trade Deebo Samuel. You know, I don't think the Bills are a bad destination for Deebo Samuel. You put Josh Allen and Deebo Samuel together, that could be fun with whatever Deebo Samuel has left in the tank. I'm thinking of other potential destinations. The Broncos could use a wide receiver. The Chargers could use a wide receiver. The Steelers could use another wide receiver. You know, you go through some of these options. You know, in the NFC, we talked about the Commanders earlier. There's some spots there for Deebo Samuel. You know, Green Bay, they could use a wide receiver too. And, you know, even Atlanta. You know, Atlanta would actually be, in a weird way, I'm actually hoping Atlanta gets Deebo Samuel. Here's why. So you have Michael Penix Jr., who's a fun young quarterback. You got Bijan Robinson, who's an explosive running back. You got Drake London, who's a good wide receiver. Now, you put Deebo there, you could get very creative with Michael Penix Jr., Bijan Robinson, and Deebo Samuel. So I don't think that's going to be a popular pick, but I would not be annoyed if the Falcons ended up making a trade this offseason for Deebo Samuel. I think that would just be fun to see what they could scheme up on the offensive side of the ball with some of the athletic freaks that they have in that offensive room for the Atlanta Falcons. So that's the Deebo stuff. The Micah stuff, I read this report that the Drama Dallas Choking Cowboys have had some talks about potentially, or some conversations about potentially moving Micah Parsons. I would not trade Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons is a heck of a player in this league. And I know the Cowboys, they are a team that they got a lot of work to do. And you could get probably two first-round picks and then some for Micah Parsons. But are either of those two players going to be better than Micah Parsons? Probably not. And the Cowboys and the Browns are different. Where the Cowboys, three straight years of 12 wins, and then this year, right, with all the injuries, the carpet got pulled out from underneath them. They're not a bad football team. I'm not saying Dallas is great, but they're not a bad football team. And I don't think the Cowboys are going to trade Micah Parsons. But this was Micah Parsons with us on Radio Row last week as he was joining us remotely on the Luka Doncic trade and then also his future. This is from Tuesday of last week.
What was your first reaction to seeing Luka get traded to the Lakers?
And my mouth dropped. And I got scared myself. I said, am I the next person in Dallas? You know, because you really never know what happens. And obviously, I had the ankle thing this year, and I thought that was the reason why I thought it was so important to get back because, you know, your best ability is availability. And I, you know, the fact that they didn't appreciate Luka for all he's done for them, taking them to a conference final. I would have, you know, the finals and, you know, doing all he did and being a five-time All-NBA just wasn't enough. And I think that's extremely disappointing. You know, I think when you invest in a player and he's showing you so much love and did so much for your program, you would think the loyalty is still right there back. And obviously, you see these sports it isn't. So it's super frustrating and sad. It makes you sad.
Well, you got 1 year left on your deal. Do you think the loyalty will be there for you? Do you expect to get something done with the Cowboys this offseason?
I hope so.
So there's no trade request coming from you? I know, right, people see Myles Garrett with the trade request the other day. People go, oh, I wonder if Micah's going to follow suit there.
No, I don't plan on following suit. As long as, you know, I get a deal done, I think I'll be pretty happy.
So there you go. Hey, that's very clear. He wants to stay there. But the Cowboys have to want to get a deal done. And Micah Parsons has a lot of power with this podcast, and he's never afraid to give a headline or two or a soundbite or two. So if the Cowboys want to play the same games that they played with Dak Prescott with Micah Parsons, I don't think that will go that well for Jerry Jones, even though he runs his franchise based off making more clicks and headlines, so maybe he could be actually getting what he really wants. But I could see Micah then firing back. I don't think they'll ever get to a point of contention where it's fractured beyond repair, and the Cowboys are slow with contracts, but they end up getting it done, and I don't think Jerry's going to let Micah Parsons leave. Now, Myles Garrett, he's definitely gone. It's just one of the Browns going to say, okay, we're trading you. And I understand why the Browns would play hardball right now. It makes a ton of sense to play hardball right now because you want to build a market here and you know that there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be interested in him. So you got to suck every asset out of them. That's what you got to do. Here was Myles Garrett, with us last week on Radio Row why he requested a trade.
Trying to, you know, look out for my best interests and you know, the future of my career. I think that's been, you know, what it's always been the main purpose, the main goal. I know there's some people in the Northeast Ohio that I'm disappointing. Just know that I, you know, will always have love for that community, but you know, just want to, you know, continue to press forward my career and achieve higher heights.
I get it. It makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, just want to make sure that, you know, people understand that this is all about football. It's not about money or, you know, attaining another contract. You know, just want to play meaningful football at the end of the year, be playing it late into January and into February.
And then let's also hear from Myles Garrett on what fan bases have been the most vocal in trying to get him to find a way to force a trade to their destination.
The Eagles have been out in full force. I've heard a good amount from Detroit, and Commanders have spoken up a couple times as well.
And the Eagles, right? They're in the big game.
Yeah.
Howie Roseman's always wheeling and dealing. Could see yourself eating some cheesesteaks and winning a championship in the city of brotherly love.
I mean, we went there for a preseason. I definitely got me a cheesesteak. You know, it lived up to my hopes. Now, I'm not going to stay too attached to any one team at this point. You know, I know my fate really is in my hands, but you know, it would be a hell of a destination.
So I said last week there's five teams that I thought could go really be in play here for Myles Garrett based off what he just said. And I said Eagles, Bills, Chiefs, Lions, Commanders. There's still an unknown, though, about how consistent the Commanders are going to be. Now, there's a lot of reason to believe in them because of Jaden Daniels. But the Eagles, right, just in the last 3 years, they've been to two Super Bowls. They won a championship. The Bills have been division round, AFC championship round for 5-6 years. The Kansas City Chiefs, we already know they've won 3 championships. And the Lions, they have been to an NFC championship game 2 years ago. And this past season, they were the number one overall seed in the NFC. So as much as I like the Commanders, if I'm Myles Garrett, Eagles, Bills, Chiefs, Lions would really be the four teams I'm considering. I'm telling the Cleveland Browns, hey, you got to trade me to one of those four teams and see if you can work with Cleveland and create that market that's going to be there where the Browns get what they want for Myles Garrett, and Myles Garrett gets what he wants as well. All righty, we'll take a break. We got one more hour to play on this Tuesday when we return. Kellen Moore is going to the Saints. That means we know all 7 hires in the NFL. How do we rank them 1 through 7, best and worst, when we come on back? We'll do that when the Zach Gelb Show continues after these short messages.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.